welcome to Board Game Binge, the place where we bring you bite-sized, bingeable board game content across the industry. I'm your host, James Staley, and in this episode, we're chatting with Hagen Bear, owner of Board Game Bear and the designer of Nerfania, a unique area control board game that is currently on Kickstarter. Hagen, welcome to the binge. How you doing, my friend?
Hi, James.
So, did nice I get the name? Is it Nerthania? Nerthania? How do I pronounce that?
You can in Germany we say Nerthania, but you also can say Nerthania. It's usable everywhere.
That's awesome. So, before we get into this Kickstarter, which I'm super excited about, I love area control games. That's how my brothers and I battled it out when we were younger. It was always with the classic Risks of the world and so forth.
Yes.
I want to kind of jump into, so you're joining us from Germany. Whereabouts in Germany are you joining us from?
From Halle. It's in the middle of Germany. It's a small town. Yeah, where I live, where I work, and where I have designed this game.
Now, you were introduced to us by Stefan Godot, so I want to just give him a shout out. People know him from Among Cultists, as well as he has guided a lot of designers across the industry, especially across Europe, and helping them with their campaigns, both on Kickstarter and just overall game design. Now, did I read somewhere that you're a general practitioner or a doctor of some sort?
Yes, right. Since 8 years, I'm a general practitioner, and that's my work. But I play board games since my youth, and that's both a very passionable things that I can do. help people with playing games.
So, like a family doctor, then I guess, is that what you are? Like a family doctor?
Yes.
Now, so you're playing games when you're younger. Is this something when you're going through for your doctorate? Was there a lot of kind of late nights, maybe at a hospital or so forth, where you guys would crack out a board game and play to kill the time in the late nights? Or
No. We had to work. That's not possible. That's too much work. But a nice idea.
Then with being a doctor, obviously this is a massive time commitment for you. How do you find time to play board games?
Yeah, that's a good question. But if you don't play games, then your life is, I think, sad. So you need the time, you must take the time, and on the weekend or on the evening, and you must just do it. Because if you don't do it, then that's not a good option.
Yeah. And then you said you've been playing games your whole life. Has it been mainly area control games, or what are some of the favorite games that you've played?
Yeah, like you mentioned before, I started my board game history with Risk, and I was playing it nights long with my friends in school. And if you start playing this game, then you will make more. You want other games, and then you searching for other games. And I played X and Elias and Blood Rage, games like this, Twilight Imperium, and many other games. And when I was 20 years old, I painted an own map for Risk. To get a new setup. It was a Europe map, and I saw it worked very well, and that was something very new, because I can do something by myself. And I said, okay, I don't need someone else to make a game that I will like. I can do it. And then I invented some extra rules, and that was a first step in the board game designing thing.
And what were some of the rules that you added to your Risk game?
Mixed armies and retreat rules, and what else? It's a long time.
Yeah,
we've gone since then. So I also made some. From X and Elias, I take the armies from this game and put it on the Risk map, and play it Exit Allies with open factions, not Germany versus US. So you can play with Germany and USA against the other mates. And this was a really nice experience too.
Oh, that's so cool. So you've taken kind of two different games and you merge them together to create a new game.
Yes.
Yeah, I think back when I was a kid, when we played Risk, I think that was probably the first time I ever started doing like what we call like homebrewing or your own kind of personal rules for games. And me and my friends, we had played Risk so many times that we started coming up with our own rules or in our own little things. And the one thing we came up with was we added nuclear weapons to the game. So once you got up to, I believe it was 100, so because you can get up to like your little piece represents 10 armies, right?
Yeah.
Well, if you got up to 100, then that would be a nuke. Okay. And then what the nuke would allow you to do is you would pick a spot on the map and you say, okay, I fire a nuke at this spot. We had one of these old, if you remember the old 45 records that had that little plastic piece that went inside the records,
yes,
it was like a spiral. Right. That was the nuclear fallout. So we put that on the map and then we say, okay, any armies that were adjacent to that spot were gone.
Okay.
And no one could occupy that for like 7 turns or something like this. So it's a way of kind of homebrewing it, right? And creating our own rules. But it gave me at least the bug to say, okay, now I can maybe make something completely new. I've been able to take these games and create my own rules for them and, you know, add things in that were never there. Well, maybe I can actually create a game. And it kind of led me down that journey. So it sounds like this is very similar for you as well.
Yes, very similar. Right.
Yeah, combining games and things, right?
Yeah.
And what was the first game you ever made? Like, was there several games you've made over the years, just kind of that you never published, but just kind of made for yourself to kind of practice? Or what was the first thing you ever made?
The first game I made was Tectonia, but it's the same game like Natania. It's Natania, it's an upgrade with better rules and more streamlined. And this Kickstarter campaign, which is currently running, is my fourth campaign. So I had 3 other trials and they all failed. And I always made the game better than the version before. And then you talked about Stefan. He said to me, we need something new, make a new name, new cover. And this is the result of it. But
so this is something that you've been trying to make a go at for some time. In some of these prior campaigns, did you pull the campaign or did it just kind of make it to the end and fail? Or what were kind of, how did those kind of play out?
The first campaign I did was I just made a game without advertising. I just thought, make this and it will work. But this was a little bit stupid. Then I make advertising. I go to fairs and collect some email address and so on. But it was not enough. And so I decided to make a new try with new graphics. But finally, always something doesn't work like I expected. And this that was a little bit crazy and a little bit hard to understand. And the last time Stefan wrote me a mail and he said, hey, Hang, let's do it again. I give you some advice, I give you some help. And so I said, okay, when I have a manager, an advisor, then I will try it again. And this is the point I'm standing.
It certainly helps have advisors, to give you some guidance, right? And I think the biggest misconception a lot of people have is they think that Kickstarter is a crowd finder, but it's a crowd funder, right? And my first game, I made a similar mistake, right? I launched the game and just thought, hey, it's a great game. You know, everyone that plays it with me loves it. I'll put it on Kickstarter and the crowd will just show up and we'll buy the game. And it's a very hard lesson to learn. And unfortunately, it's a lesson that many, 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 many people learn and are still learning, right? And the reality is, and we just talked about this with the Launch Boom folks on our last episode, is that you really have to put a lot of effort. Your hard work is before you launch your campaign and building that audience and building that crowd and getting people excited to back you and pre-committing to backing you even before you get on Kickstarter. And then when you get on to Kickstarter, still a lot of hard work, but it should play out how you've kind of predicted it would based on all the work that went into that leading up to that point, right? And often these advisors like Stefan will help you see that, right? And help you understand that and will teach you some of the tools of pre-marketing and, you know, crowd building and structuring a page. I mean, your page is beautiful. We're going to look at the page in a second, but structuring the page in a way that it's engaging and pulls people in. I hate to say it's formulaic, but it's getting pretty formulaic how Kickstarter pages are built, right? There's certain things that people look for. You have to have a video at the top. You have to explain what the game is at the very beginning, right? The very first couple images should be saying, what is this, right? And then getting into, here's how you play. Here's some animated GIFs to show different components to make it look like, okay, these people put a little bit of time and effort into this, or maybe a lot of time and effort. Review videos, right? Showing videos of other people talking about your game and explaining to their audiences why you should consider it. You know, all these factors are things that need to get built in. And still to this day, I'll see campaigns that don't do some of these basic things. They don't include videos and reviews and so forth. And then they, you know, you look back and say, well, why didn't it fund? Well, that's because they didn't look at what seems to be the convention that other people are following, right?
Yeah. It's a hard work. And I think the game development needs 10% of the time than you need for the advertising and the crowd building and some and these things.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah. So I'm going to show on the screen for people that are either watching on the replay or watching live. So this campaign is funded. You're at 300 times your goal. It funded very quickly for you. So congratulations on that. So Nertania, I guess, make the H silent, it's 2 to 4 players. Can you talk to people about kind of give them a talk, explain like how you play this game, like what this game is about? In as descriptive language as possible?
Yes. I think there are two main spots I focused on. The first one is the map. Most maps are always the same. You have good areas, bad areas, and there is always a fight about special regions. And in this game, you have always a different setup because you have different tiles and different landscapes, and so you can build the world and you start your game every time in a different way. And these tiles are not hexagon tiles because hexagons look a little bit artificial. So these tiles are polygonal. You have more different, every tile is unique. And so you have a unique world. And during the game, you have a mechanic which changes the world. You have water, and then you have grassland, or you get mountains, and these tiles are shifting. And this is an extra that your strategy must take this to it, that you must consider this, that you can't attack if there's water, and maybe you must change this to grassland, then you can attack about this. And this is something I very like. And the other thing is the battle system. I often played games, and then the battle system is very simple. It's just rolling a die or use a battle card. And it's sometimes I say, what, that's all about the battle system. It's a great game, but this is very, very less. And so I tried to make a battle system which gives you some tactical considerations and some luck too, but a good mix. And so I created a battle system which is with battle dice and battle cards, and it gives you a satisfying feeling when you win this battle. And that's I think it's the outstanding point to these two points. And And then later in the game, the people said, oh, we need different factions, just make them different. And so I made four different war tribes. And then you must make a difference between these warriors. You must think, okay, I make this warrior a little bit stronger, this one a little bit weak, but he has an archer bonus and something. And then you must make, you have different units, then you have, you must mix them wisely that they make them each other stronger. And that's then you have different combos and you have different ways to play to make your army you, like you want. And that's the core of the game. You make a battle group and then you attack and yeah, and then you fight.
Yeah, it's super slick. I mean, the board is it's cool. These modular pieces that I guess they change throughout the game. So you can I guess terraform is the way you describe it. You're terraforming the land, yeah, which allows you to like mine and maybe move over it better. And these modular pieces, can you move them to different areas? Can the map continually change? Like every time you play the game, is it a different map altogether based on how you set it up? Or
No, that's not possible. You have every tile stays at its origin.
Okay.
So the tile one is always on the left top, but there are three types of areas, water, grassland, and mountains. And if you combine the different landscapes, then you get different game maps.
Gotcha. And then, but you can change the tile so that you can turn water into like grassland, right?
Right.
Yeah, right. That's cool.
So and you can use it as a strategic consideration. If you can say, okay, make water, then my enemy can't jump over it.
Oh, I gotcha. And so you can use it as a way to kind of like block them and cord them off. The dice, there's 96 custom dice in this, which is insane. Like I was shocked at the amount of custom dice. I'm going to show it on the screen here. Yeah. It is a lot. Like there's a lot of stuff in this box, right? Like even the meeples, I was looking at the different factions. You got like, is it like 46 meeples per 40 to 50, I guess, depending on the faction you're playing. I mean, that's just a crazy high number.
Yeah, right. Everybody says, like you, especially the producer, say, oh, that's too much dice. Can you make less dice? But I say, no, that's I want these dice because I want shuckle dice and roll them, and then I will see what is the result. I don't want the dice with too much symbols that I must, I'm this faction, so I need this symbol that's complicated. I want an easy working battle system, and then you need more dice, and there are so many units, you can't build every unit in one game. So you have the next time the chance to make another troop combo. So it's a little, so the game offers more than you can make in one game. So it's
it's open for expansions and things like that.
Yeah.
For dice amount, like I can think of a number of games where, when you open up the box and you see all the dice, I don't ever think that's a bad thing. Most people are excited when they see a lot of dice, right? It's like, wow, look at all the dice this game comes with. Holy smokes. Like what value, right? And that was the one thing that I could clearly see from this game is the value that you seem to be placing into this game for your people that end up backing it is just, you know, you got these thick tiles, this modular board, you've got tons and tons of meeples and player pieces. So it's on the table and you're doing area control, kind of like when you're younger and you play Risk and you have, you know, all those tons of pieces on the board. Similar kind of aspect here, but instead of it being little plastic pieces, it's literally meeples that are printed with, you know, different warrior images on them and so forth. When you did your play testing, were you using meeples then, or is this something that was just mainly for the production? Like what did you use when you were developing this game?
Yeah, I use meeple with stickers on it.
Oh, you use stickers, okay.
Yeah, stickers with symbols. X was the warrior, a shield was the shield bearer, a bow was the archer, and I had some horses, and it worked very well.
Yeah. And can you explain, there's like this image of this, like, it looks like on your player boards, this like rotunda on the left-hand side, which has like tiles that you add onto it. Can you explain what that is a little bit?
That's a rondo. And the game itself, it's very easy to play. You have several actions like recruit new units, and then there's a slot on the rondo. Then you just mark it with a cube, and then you have said, okay, I just produce units. And then the next player's turn starts. And so you are very, very fast with your turns. And there are seven different slots, which stands for the different actions you can do. So like recruit new units, build buildings for to get the better units, and collect resources, attack, and level up your battle cards to get a little bit of deck building mechanism in this game, and make the terraforming. And then, and all these actions are very fast, and you just say in the game, okay, I build a building, and then you just do it, and the next player can start his turn. And then the next player, and so you're very fast with your turns, there's only less downtime, and then when you attack, the attack is fast because you roll the dice and play the cards, and then the one player is still in the fight, participate in the fight, and then always there's always something on the map which what happens. There is no boring meantime.
Mm-hmm. And then the cards in this game, how do the cards kind of come into play?
Is it the battle cards, you mean them?
Yeah, so you have the different cards, like with the it looks like different factions on them and so forth, right?
Right. Okay. When you build maybe an archer unit, then at first you need the archery to build this unit. And if you build this unit, you instant get this battle card level 1. And if you go into a fight, you can use a maximum of 2 different battle cards.
Okay.
But you must have this unit in the fight. You know, if you have maybe 3 or 4 different units, then you must choose which battle card is better to play now. And then you play this card, and when the game evolves, then you get better battle cards, level 2 or level 3, and then you use these cards. And so you decide, maybe you play with archers and horse units, riders, then you level up these cards, and then you have a good combo of these. And you play with a teammate, or you see your enemy plays more shield bearers, then you need other units to counter these units. And the cards are part of the battle system.
Is it like almost like a deck builder then, or is it more of a like a tableau where you have your cards and you keep those cards and you're just going to choose which ones you want to use because you have access to all of them at the same time? Or
no, it's not a deck builder. It's you have if you have 3 different units, then you have 3 different cards, and then you choose 2 of these 3 available cards,
mm-hmm.
and it's only a level up mechanism to make this card stronger, because when the game goes on, you get more units, and you must in the fight there must be more damage. So you need better cards to get this game to an end. You don't want to play 8 hours, so you must make more destruction in a battle.
How long does it play?
If you play with 4 players, you play 3 hours. Maybe if you play a bit, you can play longer. You can play 4 hours, but mostly 3 hours. And if you play with 3 players, a little bit less. And a 2 player is an option, because you play with a neutral faction, which is played by the other player alternating playing. If you play something, then the enemy plays the neutral faction. And if your enemy plays, then you play the neutral faction. It's an
oh, that's interesting.
The game option. It's a game option.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So it's not a true AI. It's more of a as you said, like a neutral faction that you each are somewhat controlling, but it gives, I imagine, can help with the balance of a 2-player game, right? So it's not just kind of slugging back and forth, but you have that third kind of party or component that's going to, you know, kind of make it more of a like a triangular situation, right?
Right.
That's cool. Visually, this thing looks amazing. I mean, on the table, it looks gorgeous. I was showing on the screen here again with all the cards and the, you know, just the design, the artwork. You can tell you've put like a lot of love into this and a lot of development into this game. You were saying earlier that, you know, you've put the components in here that allows you to expand in future iterations. How easy will that expansion be in the like for future iterations? Will it just be like a tiny little story add-on, or how do you envision that?
No. In this game, all components are there, and you can you can't as you have six different units, but in a real battle, in a real game, you need four, maybe three units. So when you play it the next time, you can choose, okay, today I don't play with riders, I focus on archers. Or on the next game, okay, I play with the animals or the monsters. So you have different ways to play one battle tribe. That's the thing. And expansion is currently not planned.
Oh, you haven't planned expansion on this game?
No. Maybe if this will succeed, I need a long break. and then maybe I will do a different game.
Yeah. Area controlled as well, or would you what kind of comes next after this? Are you thinking of other game styles, or what do you have planned?
I mostly play area control games. Sometimes when I play a Euro game, it's not my type of games. It's too boring. I need something to attack or to destroy something. It's more my style of game.
Yeah. And do you have other games that you have kind of behind the scenes that you started developing and working on, or?
Always when I read a book or I see an interesting film, I always think, maybe this could be a good idea for a game mechanic or a game design. And I always write something on a paper, and I have very many of these papers. And then I read them and say, okay, so now let's do a game development. And then I take all these ideas, and then I say, okay, this I go on with this, or no, that was not good. And I always, when I found an interesting situation, I try to think, how can I use this for a board game?
Yeah. I have a folder on my computer, and in this folder, I have subfolders, and the subfolder will just be a name. And it might be a placeholder and it could just be a theme. Like I might just put whatever the theme is, and then there it's an empty folder. But it's just like I had an idea of creating a game around, like for instance, Garden Geckos we have that we're running with right now. Yeah. That started off with a name, right? I want a game that uses geckos. I haven't seen a lot of gecko games. Yeah, there. So I just had a folder that said geckos.
And
that was it. And then as you brainstorm and as things kind of pop into your mind, you start filling that folder with ideas, and eventually there'll be enough stuff in there that you can start organizing it into the concept of a game. In other cases, you hit creative flow and you might have a bunch of ideas, in which I'll actually create a document. I'll say, here's kind of a rough sketch of, you know, what this game is about and, you know, what the intentions are and the player count and so forth, a rough theme. And I'll put that in the folder. And again, I'll sit on it. Right. And I'll just let it kind of marinate until inspiration comes again. And you pull it back out of the folder and probably tear it up and rebuild it again. But you've got kind of a foundation you've built it off of. And, you know, that's part of the excitement of game design, isn't it?
Maybe we must make a game together.
Maybe. Area control with geckos, perhaps.
great idea.
Well, Hagen, I put, for those who want to check out this campaign, I encourage them to check it out. Just visually, this thing looks awesome. And if people are into area control, for sure it's something they should check out. I'll put a link in the show notes for people that do want to check out the campaign, just because the name, I know I'm butchering it when I say it, so I'll get them to go in the show notes, follow the link, you'll find it. And I can't wait to see where this thing ends up. You still got several weeks ahead of you.
Yes.
You're already funded, so now it's just gravy. And I'm cheering for you. So I want to wish you all the best on this campaign and more, my friend, and all the best this coming year with your game designs as well as your medical practice.
Right. Thank you. That's very kind.
All right, my friend. You take care. Cheers.
This has been an episode of the Board Game Binge Podcast, hosted by James Staley,
produced by James Staley and Mike Bruner, with original music by Nick Smith. If you would like to watch these interviews live, simply subscribe to our YouTube channel, Board Game Binge, and you'll get access to live interviews, giveaways, and interesting board game content from across the industry. I can't wait for you to join us. See you next time. We'll be right back.